Legend has it that a Chinese cook accidentally invented explosives when he mixed together charcoal, sulfur, and saltpeter in the kitchen. Boom. That's right. Boom. Gunpowder was born. Hello. That's one rocky day in the kitchen. That was about 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, gunpowder was born. It's crazy. Over the ages, firecrackers were developed and used in religious ceremonies to frighten away evil spirits. That boom scared more than just the little kitties. In celebrations, because, well, they're awesome. And, of course, war. I did mention the gunpowder, right? By about 1200 AD, the Chinese had learned how to turn their firecrackers into bombs and rockets. And that changed everything. According to history books or websites, fireworks were a secret of the Chinese for over 1,000 years until Marco Polo finally came for a visit in 1292, along with the Crusaders, who had a pretty sharp awakening when they had explosive arrows shot at them. Well, when they all finally left China, they took some valuable info back to Europe. Everyone loved this miraculous new technology, whether it was for military purposes or spectacular artistic celebrations. European royalty loved their fireworks so much, they would have fire masters on staff. How cool is that? King John was so appreciative of the illuminations at his coronation that he knighted his fire master on the spot. Supposedly, the last major innovations were made by the Italians in the 1800s. Yeah, 1800. Ever since then, the fireworks themselves are still basically made pretty much the same way today. Steve Yoss is a modern-day fire master, or pyrotechnician. He works out of Rialto, California, at Pyro Spectaculars by Souza. You all know Pyro Spectacular's work very well, whether you know it or not. You've seen it for the past 20 years. Every single New Year's Eve, on TV or in person, in New York City on the Hudson. Yep, that's them. They're also responsible for the Salt Lake City, Atlanta, and Los Angeles Olympics, Statue of Liberty's 100th and 125th birthday celebrations, and countless other credits. Name it, they probably did it. Thank you for joining us, Firemaster Steve Yoss.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and appreciate the opportunity to shed some light on what we do.
Shed some light, and a big boom.
Yes.
Now tell me, admit it, do you wish you were still called a Firemaster?
Oh, man, that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? You know, Grand Firemaster Extraordinaire would be my preferred title, but...
I think you should bring it back.
I'll settle for Licensed Operator.
Okay. Now, in your words, just to sort of get us going, mm-hmm. Tell us, from your point of view and your vantage point and your experience, what is a pyrotechnician?
Well, in the strictest sense of the word, a pyrotechnician is somebody who works with pyrotechnics. In the more legal sense of the word, a licensed pyrotechnician is somebody who has a authority from some sort of legal body to do public display fireworks or fireworks that are intended to be, you know, shown publicly in front of an audience, in front of a crowd. And from my perspective as an operator, you know, really what I view my job is the person who is responsible for safely executing and producing a safe display to make people happy.
Gotcha. So basically, you are responsible for hooking them all up and setting them off.
Yep, that's pretty accurate.
Okay.
Pretty accurate. And there's varying levels of responsibility depending on the type of show and where you are. You know, in some shows, for smaller shows, the operator might even design the show. But as you get into the larger, what we call our marquee events, you know, they're much more sophisticated and much more planned out. Just depends on where you fall.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine, yeah, the show from... the Hudson, well, I'm sure, involves, what, hundreds of people? Thousands? How many people are involved in a show like that?
Well, the show you're referring to is the Macy's 4th of July Spectacular, which occurs every 4th of July, and sometimes it's on the East River, sometimes it's on the Hudson River. And that show is the culmination of several hundred people just in the fireworks alone to kind of make it happen. You know, and if you think back, and if you want to look at the full picture, you know, this goes as far as overseas to the people actually making the shells, to the people bringing it to the United States, people designing the show, of course, the crew setting it up, all of our wonderful fire service and professional staff that help keep the event going and keep the event safe, the sponsor, you know, a show of that magnitude, there can be hundreds, sometimes even thousands of people involved just to bring it all together to have a beautiful, safe display for the crowd.
Yeah, I imagine safety is a huge concern. Now, now, just to sort of get back to the beginning of your career,
sure.
How did you find explosives as a vocation?
Yeah, yep. Well, this is something I've been around my entire life. My father is a CPA in Southern California, and he started working with Pyro Spectaculars by Sousa in the mid-70s when they were just coming into their modern generation of company organization. And he's been with them ever since. You know, he's been with the company for, you know, almost 40 years at this point, and I'm 28, so literally I've been around this in my entire life. So I grew up going to fireworks shows with my parents, you know, and not just one or two a year, dozens. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up around the people who are responsible for the actual organization of the company, and I've had the opportunity to kind of grow up seeing this from all different perspectives. And when I became of age, you know, when I was 18, I worked my first show, and when I was 21, I got my license, and it's been something I've been doing and plan on doing my entire life and the rest of my life.
Now, your dad joined the company as a CPA, but not a pyrotechnician, or he was sort of doing that on the side?
No, my dad owns his own business. He's the external accountant to the company.
And okay.
So, you know, he's you know, he does a lot of the tax work, a lot of the accounting work, but helps out on a lot of shows, but he's not a licensed operator.
Gotcha. So he basically provided the exposure for you to sort of get into this world. Because I've noticed in the research and stuff, it just seems like this industry, the pyrotechnics industry, is a hugely familial kind of...
It is.
Yeah, it seems like families just generation to generation gets passed down, you know, as time goes on, it sort of stays in the family. I was just curious if that's what happened with you guys, but it sounds like it was slightly different with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the family that owns Pyro Spectaculars by Sousa is the Sousa family.
Yeah.
And they hail from, in their lineage and ancestry is in Portugal. And I believe they're in their sixth generation of family leadership of the company, and I think the seventh is certainly on its way. And, you know, it's a beautiful history that spans, oh, you know, over a century at this point. It's been handed down family member to family member over the years.
Do you know what that's about? Any idea,
like,
why that?
Something.
Any idea why that happens? I mean, I'm just curious, because it's almost like circus families or, you know, firefighter families. It almost seems like a thing that any sense of why you think that happens from generation to generation there?
I think with the Sousa, it's a mark of family pride. You know, they've been putting on top quality performances and displays for generations, and who wouldn't want to be a part of something bigger than yourself? You know, it's just in the modern era to be a part of, you know, we've produced shows for the Olympics, Super Bowls, World Series, All-Star Games, concerts, the Rolling Stones, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, it's amazing. You know, you feel the sense of being a part of something so much bigger than yourself. And the displays, it's always, it's something just absolutely magnificent. You know, fireworks are the crown of a, you know, of a spectacular event. It's what lights up the sky. And I think it's inspired the generations of the company and of the family to kind of keep this going. This is us. This is the Sousas.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
That's really cool. Now, do you find, just again in my research, I you know, when you think about it, it's obvious, but I guess I just hadn't really thought about it, you know, how much these fireworks are explosives. They are literally rockets and bombs and that kind of thing. And so there's a huge...
There's a big difference. They're not bombs. Bombs are ordnance, and, you know, they're purpose-built pyrotechnic effects that go off and produce an effect that's 100% prescribed. Like, we know what they're going to do.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, something that we cook up at home.
Right. yes.
Sorry, just to be clear.
Of course. But my question was really sort of coming to the idea of in your field with the people you work with, do you find a lot of chemists involved or ex-military people who, because there's a lot of, you know, just the oxygen and nitrate and sulfate and all that kind of stuff. Are those the people who tend to end up working alongside of you?
It runs the gambit. There are people from so many walks of life. And as you mentioned earlier, in when we were speaking, it's a very familial type thing. And, you know, it's familiar both within the company as well as within the operator community. Like, we're a very close community, and there's people from all walks of life that are part of this. You know, just for example, pyrotechnics is a wonderful side career and hobby for me, but my normal job and, you know, what I do most of the time is I'm a software developer, and I work in software development in a lot of different respects. My dad, who's been around it a long time, is a certified public accountant. We have engineers, we have doctors, we have lawyers. We have people from many, many different walks of life. You know, we have people who are former military, we have pilots, we have, you know, lots of different stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, it's an applied performance, like engineering type thing. The kind of people who get involved with pyrotechnics are people who like a creative outlet, that like working with their hands, that like hard work, you know, and like actually setting this kind of stuff up. And, you know, outside of actually shooting the shows themselves, you know, and then, you know, on the night of actually setting it up, there's so many people from so many different walks of life. But, you know, the idea that it's a mad scientist sitting in the back making something, that's not really at the professional level.
You know, right.
People who work in this are very, very safety and task driven and project driven. You know, it's really kind of a project management thing more than anything else. Like, people who can actually pick up a truck at the beginning of the day or a couple days prior and build a show to completion and then safely display that show are the kind of people that gravitate and, you know, mm-hmm. that we look for.
But ultimately, when you're standing there and you're, like you said, shooting a show. I mean, I have to imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have to imagine it all comes down to that thrill of seeing what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't tell you how enormously filled with pride you can be when you actually see something that you put your blood, sweat, and tears into setting up. And I have used this an analogy prior, or just the way of describing it. There are very few things in life that give you immediate satisfaction or immediate payoff. A lot of the things that we do in our professional careers are long-term focused. You might work on a project for weeks, months, years at a time, and you don't actually get that payoff that, yes, this is successful, yes, this is beautiful, and it works. But fireworks is like a breath of fresh air in that sense as a crew member, because you work in the hot sun on July 4th from the break of dawn, you know, until showtime, getting this thing ready, perfecting it, getting every shell and every rack and every device and in the right place. You test meticulously to make sure that everything is correct. You check your distances to make sure everything is where it needs to be. You're working with a client. You're working with the fire authority. You're working with, you know, your DJ people for audio sometimes or radio. But what it comes down to is that couple minutes prior, that flutter you get in your stomach, you know, your heart almost skips a beat, because it's like, it's here, you know, it's here, it's time to go, it's time to shoot the show, it's time to light it up. And when you actually start it, when you see that first shell go up, it's like a sigh of relief, and you're just, for me anyways, I'm just filled with this just warmth of, oh, thank you, it all went up, you know. And when you're done, you've got this payoff. You've worked so hard, but you got to see the fruits of your labor right there. And I, for me, that's one of the nicest things about this, is that you get that immediate satisfaction of seeing your hard work pay off. And for me, the first time I did that, I was hooked. You know, this is an awesome thing to do, and it's something I wanted to be a part of my entire life.
Now, what happens? We only have a minute for until break, but what happens when something goes wrong?
Well, you know, we have a lot of training in different types of safety scenarios, and, you know, we have checklists that we go through in terms of, you know, if something doesn't go awry or something doesn't go 100% to plan, we have safety protocols and checklists in place to ensure that, you know, that crowd safety and crew safety is the absolute, like, most important thing that we can deal with. So in an instance where something doesn't 100% go the way we want, let's say, you know, the music isn't synced right to the fireworks being shoot, or maybe something doesn't display correctly, we have pre-designated procedures that we kind of follow.
Little step
both
gaps.
During, or both before, during, and after the show to, you know, kind of always ensure that, you know, crowd safety and crew safety is maintained.
Comes first. Okay. Well, we are talking with Steve Yoss. He is a pyrotechnician, or I like to say a fire master, from Pyro Spectaculars by Sousa here in Rialto, California, not too far, far away. And they are responsible for some big-time Big Bang booms. And we're going to be talking with him when we come back in just a few seconds. Don't go anywhere. Hello, you are listening to Sweet Life. I am Brooke Peterson. We are streaming live from the beautiful campus of Pasadena City College. And today we get to talk to Steve Yoss. He is a pyrotechnician. He is one of those people responsible for those beautiful displays of fireworks and beautiful lights in the sky every 4th of July, New Year's Eve, football games, Super Bowls, Olympics, you know, you name it. He very well could have been a part of the team that was there. Hi, Steve.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right, let's just jump right back into it. So before the break, we were talking about, you know, when something goes unexpected, something goes wrong. And and so it seems like there's a lot of stop gaps and precautions already pre-placed so that, you know, nothing goes out of control. Now, is there a time that you've had that a shell didn't go up or the music didn't start playing and you were just like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, you know, we, as I mentioned previously, you know, we do a lot of planning and a lot of rehearsals for this. And by the time we actually get to showtime, we would have rehearsed maybe two or three, sometimes even more times if it's a major marquee event. You know, we would have been rehearsing up to this point for maybe weeks or months.
So where do you rehearse?
You know, it all starts with, well, there's a lot of things that we rehearse.
But
I'll give you an example. Recently, we had the, well, you can rehearse without actually having to send up the shelf.
Oh.
Yeah, and I can discuss that in a second in terms of how it actually goes when we start planning this. But yeah. I'll give you an example. Recently, Pyro Spectaculars by Sousa performed the 2013 KGB Sky Show down in San Diego at Qualcomm Stadium. It was after the SDSU Aztecs played, I believe it was Eastern Illinois University. And we had we've been doing the show for many, many years. It's a very, very large fireworks show that occurs after the game. And the show has a lot of different types of locations. We shoot around the stadium up on the what's called the halo in terms of where the lights are. You know, we have little effects that go up. We have our big main aerial, which is behind the stadium, and then we also have effects that are actually on the ground, like in the stadium itself. And the time between the end of the game and when the show has to start is very, very brief, and we have to get a lot of things in place, not only in place, but actually wired up, hooked up, and then, you know, obviously making sure everything is safe. And when it actually comes time to kind of get everything in place, the crew that was responsible for doing the ground effects, like in the stadium itself, rehearsed on three different occasions that day and timed it, you know, to make sure that they could get the effects in place, wired and synced up, you know, within, I think, like just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we hadn't rehearsed something like that, then we probably wouldn't have had everything in place and we would have had to delay the show. But, you know, we do stuff like that in terms of getting it in place if we actually have a limit, you know, or a time limit. And we also have other tests that we run prior to the show occurring where we can actually virtually check the shells and the firing sequence to make sure that everything is in its right place. And we call that a continuity check.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that works is we have everything like out in position in terms of the shells themselves. And we know what's going to be firework number one. We know what's going to be firework number two, three, four, so on and so forth. And sometimes we're firing manually where the operator is controlling the pace of fire. And sometimes we're firing using a computer where the computer is synced to music and the operator is ensuring the computer is operating correctly. But in either situation, we have tests with inside these things to make sure that, you know, the firework that's in position one is correct, you know, and it's in the right place, you know, the one in number two is in the right place, and we're actually able to, prior to the show commencing, minimize and eliminate most of those errors that might have occurred. And so when the show is actually occurring, what the operator is focused on is, you know, ensuring that the show is playing correctly, ensuring that the you know, the music and the fireworks are in sync, ensuring that, you know, safety is always maintained, you know, and we have people in place to kind of help us through this, you know, spotters, for example, to keep everything in check. And we're looking at the crowd and we're looking at the fireworks at pretty much at all times. And these procedures help us maintain a, you know, the correct order of display and the right safety for the display itself.
Gotcha. Now, during the day of the show, are you mm-hmm. loading each firework in a certain order and getting them in the right location, or is that already done and you just hook up the wires and set them off? What is your particular responsibility?
Sure. Let me. I can run you through if you'd like the. Let's say our typical July 4th show,
start
to finish.
Do it
if you'd like.
Yeah,
sure. Well, what typically happens is, let's say it's on the 4th of July. I'll get contacted sometimes weeks or months prior to the display actually occurring by the company, and they'll kind of give me the rundown. It's this big of a display. It's a 30-minute show, a 20-minute show, a 10-minute show. It's going to be an electronic show, or maybe it's a computer-fired show. But we kind of work out all those details, and then they send me a list of all the different effects that'll be in use, and the music, and the firing sequence. So I know prior to even picking up my truck with the fireworks in it, what's going to be shot 10, what's going to be shot 351, so on and so forth. Now, sometimes at some point, what's a plot plan will be generated based off of that schematic of what's going to be where, and we take this plot plan and we map it to the different shells that are going to be going up at the different sequences to our equipment list. The equipment list tells us, I'm going to have, what we call mortars, where we load the shells in themselves. I'm going to have so many of different sizes in, obviously I have enough equipment to cover the effects that I use. I use that to generate a plot plan, and that kind of tells me where I need to position things. And so, when I show up day of to the factory to pick up my, my truck, there'll be a bunch of fireworks, the shells that we'll actually be using ourselves, but then a bunch of equipment, and it's usually way more equipment than there are fireworks. The fireworks themselves are pretty small, depending on the size. We'll go to the site, the site where we'd be actually shooting, and from there I use my plot plan to figure out how many racks and how many mortars I need in various positions. And then my crew will basically assemble everything from hand. Once the racks are assembled, then we bring out the actual effects themselves, the fireworks, and we load them into the various mortars. But everything has to be in this right place, in the right position, and in the right firing sequence to ensure that the show goes up correctly. And the way we do that is kind of the difference between architecture and construction. At some point, sometimes the crew chief or sometimes the company themselves, somebody is going to draw up some plans, but then those plans are handed off to somebody like myself or another operator who actually takes those plans and builds the show out of it. After everything is kind of assembled, all the fireworks in their correct position, we test, we get everything, ensure continuity, making sure everything's in place. And after we test, it's kind of time for the show. And depending on where we are in the day, there might be other things that need to take place, but after we test, we're in a position usually to shoot it.
To bam. So other than the day of the show, are pyrotechnicians involved otherwise, or do the pyrotechnicians really come in on game day?
We're mostly game day players.
Gotcha.
It's a lot of the design, almost all the design, all the client interaction, all of the inventory management is done by the company itself. And so the operator is really the contractor that picks up the plans from the architect that built the show.
So is that why? Yeah. Now, is that why you were saying that most people have sort of sideline careers? Because there aren't fireworks done every single day of the week?
Exactly. There are, this is a hobby. At the end of the day, it's a hobby for 99% of the people who are in it. And it's just something that you can do periodically through the year. That just brings a lot of joy and happiness. And for me, like as I mentioned previously, I work with computers and software. It's a nice time to get out and get dirty, swing a hammer, kind of get everything in place and enjoy being in the sun.
Gotcha. And are there any women? Where are the women?
Yeah, there's tons of women. There's all different people from all different types of walk of life, men and women that are involved. There are several people. As recently as this year, my girlfriend helped me on my July 4th show this year, and that was her first show, but she's kind of hooked.
And now she's hooked, yeah.
Yeah.
It only takes one, so it's like crack.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite firework?
I really like finale shells. in finale shells are the shells that you see at the end that just absolutely fill the sky and make a lot of noise.
Sure.
You know, they typically burst 3 or 4 or 5 at a time, depending on what type of shell you're using, and just absolutely fill the sky. I just think it's so beautiful when, you know, you can turn night into day, you know, and it's not just like daylight. It's reds and blues and yellows and everything, and just the sound and the smell of it. It's great.
It is.
You know, when you're
amazing.
The operator, you're right there too. You know, you get the best view in the house.
As you're doing this, you said earlier that you can do some like manual or the computer sort of does it.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that I would prefer manual, just like that direct power and connection to the shells and the lights and the bangs. Is that for you too?
it depends. I like both. I'm a perfectionist. I love when things go correctly, and I'm not saying that manual doesn't, but when a computer fires it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember one of my first fireworks that I saw. As an adult, probably, and it was with, you know, like the Boston Pops or something, and it was so perfectly
mm-hmm.
coordinated with the
We've
music.
Worked with them.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, you guys have worked with everybody, and it was so beautifully coordinated with the music. You know, like with the timpani and the cymbals, and it was miraculous in a sense of how it all worked out. And that is coordinated by software.
We use a variety of different really highly specialized components, from computers that are specifically designed to shoot pyrotechnic effects to software that's designed to script a show. And the software is so sophisticated now that we can actually build an entire show in 3D and play it back on a computer monitor and see exactly to the tempo of what the fireworks are going to look like to the music.
Wow.
So what's great about that, when we do our big marquee events, we're able to visualize it to the music before we ever fire a shell.
That is amazing.
We have the tools now for our artists who work with fireworks to kind of paint the picture very vividly and, you know, tweak it and fine-tune it and design shows that invoke such emotion that you couldn't have gotten if we didn't have these tools just even a few years ago.
Any innovations being made right now?
Tons of innovations in the market. You know, as I just mentioned previously, you know, the new generation of software and technology that's coming out has given us an unprecedented amount of tools to design just truly immersive and beautiful shows. You know, the fact that we can work with the client, pick the music, pick the theme and the mood of the event, and build the show on it's computer-aided design, build the show on the monitor and tweak and fine-tune it prior to ever shooting it is fantastic.
Thank you for joining us, Steve. I'm sorry I have to cut you off now. We could keep going for another half hour. Steve Yoss is a pyrotechnician, or firemaster, with world-class fireworks company Pyro Spectaculars by Sousa. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.